and welcome to the Good Evening Kitties podcast, a Tales from the Crypt review. My name is Melissa, your ghostess with the mostest, and today's episode is Season 2, Episode 10, The Ventriloquist Dummy. I have back with me special guest Mike.
For my sins.
Yes, how are you?
I'm doing just great.
Thank you for being on here with me. I thought I'd have you on here again because this is another kind of fun episode that's kind of weird. So
yes, it's a good one.
That'd be a good one to have. Again, it's Season 2, Episode 10, The Ventriloquist Dummy. I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about the episode here. The synopsis for it is, who's the puppet? Who's the master? A wannabe ventriloquist discovers his idol's showbiz secret. Oh, snap. So, but yeah, this episode aired June 5th, 1990. So, as always, John Cassier does the voice of the Crypt Keeper and Danny Elfman does the theme song. It was directed by Richard Donner, who also directed all of the Lethal Weapon movies, apparently. The screenplay was by Frank Darabont. It stars Don Rickles, which, I mean, is Don Rickles.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's a big comedian and insult comic. And he also did a lot of the voices in all the Toy Story movies. He was Mr. Potato Head.
Yes, he was.
And then this also has Bobcat Goldthwait in it, and he's another type, you know, comedian. He's also the crazy guy on Scrooged, if you ever saw that with Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty funny. It's a good movie. Yeah, so we'll go ahead and get started here on the episode. And it starts out here with the Crypt Keeper, and he's got a box in his crypt, and he pulls out a ventriloquist dummy. Do you like dummies, Mike?
And it's a similar thing to dolls in that they're a little off-putting.
Yeah, they're not. But, they're never my favorite.
You know,
I
it's not
one.
Like, you know, a phobia or anything.
Yeah, I'm not really afraid. I just never wanted one.
And of course, the dummy's looking right at the audience.
So he goes basically to the doll. He calls it. His name is Dickie, and he says to the doll,
"Well, hello, Dickie. Would you like me to tell a tale from the crypt? No thanks, Death Brat. Then how about sitting a little closer to the fire? That's better."
It burns the puppet to death. Well, I mean,
Crypt Keeper seems like the kind of fellow who would just buy something and then just, well, yeah, well, this doesn't work out, throw it away.
Yeah, he don't care about that doll. He probably
mail ordering stuff
anyway.
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't ever use it.
So this episode starts out, and it's back in, I don't know, I guess like the 70s or the 60s, and there's a show going on at this club, and Don Rickles is the ventriloquist, and he's got this doll and named Morty, who's very Jewish.
Morty.
And he's got this great, like, accent thing with it and everything. And they're telling all these jokes that are really, to me, they're super corny.
It's very vaudeville.
But
it's
everyone's laughing so hard. I don't understand. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, do you see it's so funny? And then he also, like, would insult the audience in between. And it wasn't that funny. It was...
He seems to be getting rather insulted himself, though. Losing his cool...
Not too bad. He looks a little tired. But there's this kid there in the audience with little glasses there with his mom. And he's laughing really, really hard, too. He thinks it's a riot. Like, he loves his ventriloquism. He wants to do it, too. You know, he thinks this guy's the best. It's not much... The jokes aren't super big. It's
ducks go quack, quack, geese go honk.
Yeah, and it's kind of like those kind where you do, like, the ba-dum-tsh after, like, each ones where you're like, okay.
But I can't tell the difference between ducks and geese.
It's very easy. Ducks go quack, quack. Understand? And geese go honk, honk. If a pack of birds fly over and they go honk, honk, what do you do?
Pull over and let them pass.
So everyone's hysterically laughing. And maybe it's because they're drinking a lot of drinks. I don't know.
It's at least 2-drink minimum in there.
Probably. So afterwards, the kid, whose name is Billy Goldman, comes up to him and tells the ventriloquist he wants to be a ventriloquist someday, and he's his hero and everything, and he gets a picture signed of the ventriloquist and his doll, Morty.
What do you want to be when you grow up, Billy?
A ventriloquist, just like you.
Nonsense. He wants to be a doctor, don't you, Billy?
Hey, Bill, anytime you need any advice or a few tips, feel free to look me up, okay, kid?
Golly, Mr. Ingalls, thanks.
The ventriloquist, you know, nicely tells Billy that, you know, if you ever need any pointers or anything, hit me up, you know, that's fine. And so he was so excited. So then it cuts to after the kid leaves, and the kid goes back home, and I think the kid lives fairly close to the club, or to, I don't know, like a hotel where the ventriloquist is staying, I think. And there's a woman who's kind of hitting on the ventriloquist at the inn and wanting to go out with him. And so basically Mr. Ingalls just kind of brushes this lady off and he's like, you know, I'm not feeling too well. I'm kind of tired and stuff. She's like, oh, come on, you know. And so I guess they decide to go out. And so the kid's back at his house practicing his...
his shtick.
Yeah, his really bad ventriloquism with his hand, just like moving his hand around, you know, and it's cute, you know, you want to be stuff when you're little. And then I'll cross the street at the hotel there or whatever. It's lit on fire. And he runs over there and he's, you know, calling his mom over there. And
like, how small a town is this that the kid is like right next to the hotel where the guy's staying?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Because at first I was like, well, it's just a random house. And, you know, burning. I didn't make that connection at all.
I think it was a hotel or it was like the lady's house or something.
Something.
It was something
they
where...
don't make it entirely
but
clear.
But it just so happened to be right next to where the kid was. So then you find out, you know, that burnt down and everything and apparently had something to do with Mr. Ingalls. And so shortly after that, he had to stop being a ventriloquist. So then it cuts to 15 years later.
Very suddenly, but then again, these are what, 26 episodes? Yeah. Minute episodes, yeah. So...
so it cuts to 15 years later. And Billy Goldman's all grown up. Apparently, I looked up, because Bobcat Goldthwait, I like him with the ponytail. It's kind of nice.
He's always had long hair, though, hasn't he?
So, not anymore. Now he's like bald or whatever.
Well,
he always had shorter. He didn't always have the ponytail. But I kind of like it. But at first, I was like, man, he looks a lot older than... he's supposed to be 26. And I looked him up, and actually, he's only 28.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I thought he was older than that, because he doesn't look...
it's the receding hairline.
Yeah, I guess it's that.
But that happens sometimes.
Yeah, so he shows up at Mr. Ingalls' cabin, like in the middle of nowhere, after 15 years and wants to get some critique on his ventriloquist act. And you can tell he's probably not the most successful type of guy, you know. I'm sure his mom was like, are you really doing this still, you know? And he shows up with this corny little puppet that has little glasses on like him, and... again, Mr. Ingalls is living in this place where it's all, like, all the windows are boarded up.
It's like a shack in the woods.
Yeah, but it's, like, all covered with newspaper in the windows. Like, he wants no one to bother him. And so he goes in and is able to sweet-talk his way into to getting to know Mr. Ingalls a little bit and talking to him.
I'm Billy Goldman. You said I could look you up.
Oh, yeah?
Well, it was 15 years ago. I was 11 years old.
You know, and the guy's just like, you don't understand, you know, that fire ruined my life. And I was never able to work again. And you can tell that his hand, something happened to his hand, which he did the puppet with, where it looks like it got burnt. He's got like a sock over it to kind of cover it up, you know? So in a way that's kind of sad really, when you think about it at the time, like in the beginning there, if you think about like, if that was your good hand for doing that kind of thing and that was your livelihood and then you burn only that part, you know, in the thing.
Well, that's one of the first signs that something is not quite the way it appears on the surface.
Because
if he was in a fire and only his hand got burned and no other part of him got, you know, messed up,
that's
a little strange.
So he lives in this, like, really old cabin, and he's got all these pictures of up of, like, all his performances and things like that.
People he knew in the biz.
And he's still got Morty up in a chest up in his loft. And Billy wants to take him down and look at it, which is really kind of rude. And Mr. Ingalls is like,
Billy
don't touch it.
Billy still has the mind of a child.
Yeah, he's so excited. This is like his only, you know, this is like the celebrity he always wanted to meet, you know. So he's excited. And so the girl that Mr. Ingalls was dating died in the fire at this, I guess it was at a resort, it looks like.
Yeah, he's reading newspaper clippings about the incident, which Don Rickles' character keeps around, I guess. But.
Well, I mean, if it was something that messed you up, man, I mean, I guess. But basically what Billy's wanting to know is there's an open mic amateur night tonight at the same club that Don Rickles or Mr. Ingalls last performed at before the fire. And he wants to know if he'd come kind of watch and critique him and let him know how he was doing.
He wants him to tell him whether or not he's got the stuff to make it.
Let him know what's up.
To make it in the dog-eat-dog world of ventriloquism.
And so at first, Mr. Ingalls is kind of like against it, but then I think he could see how much Billy appreciated it. Or would appreciate it. And so he was like, okay. So, I mean, really, it takes a lot for him to leave the house. He's kind of a shut-in. And plus, he's going back to the same place 15 years later where a whole bunch of crap went down.
So is it the exact same place?
This is the same club he played at. Not the place that burned down. But, I mean, that's the last performance he did was at this place. So 15 years later, they're back at the thing and are at the same club. And there's an amateur night. There's a lady doing baton twirling to Camp Town Races. And then there's another lady who's gonna who's gonna make music.
Musical glasses.
Yeah, musical glasses. And
there's a word for that. I just can't think of it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's a unique little talent, I think. Mm. I can't do it. And so Billy is getting all nervous, and he's looking out there, and he's looking for Mr. Ingalls, and he sees that he shows up, and he's super excited, which I think probably made him more nervous, really. Because he gets out there, and he bombs hard. He bombs.
Well, it doesn't help that the entire audience is just a bunch of drunken louts who are constantly screaming anyway, so...
Well, they were reaming him. They were reaming him pretty hard. But I mean, when you're a ventriloquist and it's, you know, in the 90s and it's kind of past its prime a little, I think, you got to really knock it out of the park really good.
Whenever did, I mean, there are still ventriloquists around.
So yeah, but...
When did it ever, like, but I understand what you're saying. It's
but like vaudeville
age,
type stuff with it.
You know, like Charlie McCarthy, whenever that stuff ended.
But, like, what I'm saying is, you can tell right away when he starts to talk that he doesn't even... You can see his mouth.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like he even has the whole thing down. So, right away, I think that discouraged a lot of people. And then he tries to tell that joke of, like, I just came here, I just flew in here from Atlanta, and boy, my arms are tired, or whatever.
Well, the crowd finishes the line for him, because it's one everyone's heard.
The crowd's like, yeah, the crowd's like, and my arms are tired. And so he's just sweating.
I just recently flew in from New Jersey.
And then to make matters worse, which I don't think he should have done, as he's sweating and like even the puppet has a little matching outfit just like his.
So far this episode is mainly just an exercise in cringe. It's like a Tim and Eric episode almost.
Yeah.
So it's sad. It's just sad watching this.
It's pretty sad.
But
then he makes a mistake which I wouldn't have done. He brings up that Mr. Ingalls is there as a special guest, and before he can even finish, Mr. Engel just bows out of the room.
Yeah,
like,
just puts him on the spot, though, so what do you expect?
Because it's like, why would you do that? That doesn't make your act better, and the fact that...
I don't want to be associated with this.
Well, and that Mr. Engel's probably worked up a lot of courage to even leave his house. He doesn't want everyone to look at him.
Yeah.
And so Mr. Engel's heads over to the bar.
As you do.
As you do. Gets himself a drink. Some lady kind of propositions him as
an obvious lady of the night.
Yeah, she's definitely a sex worker.
He looks like my grandfather. Has a special today on for family members. Like, come on. It's so gross.
He's like, go away.
Hey, cutie pie. Want to buy a girl a drink? You know, you're kind of cute. You look like my grandfather. Have a special today on family members.
Leave me alone.
Well, if you change your mind, I'm down there. Perk up.
And so they walk past, and there's like a couple making out and stuff. And then they walk, you know, she sits at the end of the bar. So then Billy comes up to Mr. Ingalls, is like, I was terrible, right?
It's like, I done didn't do the thing, did I?
And Mr. Ingalls is like, nah, you weren't terrible. He's like, yeah, okay, you're terrible.
Yeah, like, he's like, you know, okay, I'm not gonna bullshit you. That was
horrible.
He's
like, it's pretty bad.
You're not cut out for this.
And so he's just like, find something else to do. Do, you know, find something else you can do and things. And he's like, I'm really sorry. It's not working. It didn't work out for you. You know, I know it's your dream. And he's like, I know what it's like to have your dream crumble and your like dust in your hand. You know. And so Billy's like, thanks. Which I thought, you know, it was nice that he did come watch. And so then Mr. Ingalls is sitting there still at the bar. You know, he's holding on to his sock hand, and he can all of a sudden he starts to talk to it.
Yeah.
And he looks really paranoid, and really scared.
I was getting a real Dr. Strangelove vibe at this point. And in here, it's where you really, you know that, well, I mean, we're going to find out.
Well, yeah, you're
soon,
like, what's under the hand? Yeah. What's in the hand?
It's not a burn stump.
No. So he's like, you know, no, you know, talking to it, like, calm down, calm down. And so then the hand kind of compels him to go back over to that sex worker and take her up on her offer.
Mm-hmm.
So then as Billy's leaving later in the night, walking back to his car at the club there, he throws away his dummy and he hears some screaming. And it's someone who found a woman's body in a car next to the club. And it's the woman that was propositioning Mr. Ingalls.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, Billy sees it and kind of trying to figure out they... Yeah, so he was trying to set the car on fire afterwards, And they were like, he killed her. If he murdered her, he did it horribly. And at first I'm like, you mean he did a bad job at killing her? Or he just horribly killed her?
Well, that's, you mean it's the first, because the whole thing is doused in gasoline. But
yeah,
honestly, he starts screaming at everyone, not to smoke, nobody smoke. Oh.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of cool. Like, I thought he handled it well. He took off his coat and covered the lady up so no one had to look at her. And then he
interfering with a crime scene.
I know, but then he told everyone not to smoke because it smelled of gas and, you know, just don't. And so I think somehow he knew, like, right away what had it kind of occurs to him what happened. So he heads back over to Mr. Ingalls.
Because he knows where this guy lives now.
Cabin. And when he comes in, Mr. Ingalls is injecting morphine into his arm. Yeah. In the same arm that has the hand that's all bandaged up. And at first, Billy's like, oh my gosh, you're a druggie. You know, of course you are. You know, all this stuff. And getting all mad at him. What, you know, what's going on? What happened? And then he's basically like, you killed that woman, right?
He says, no, I didn't kill her. I didn't.
At first he's like, that's why that fire happened 15 years ago, because you killed that woman and then you covered it up. Now you're doing it again. And so Mr. Ingalls is like, no, it wasn't me who did that to all those poor women, which implies there were more than her.
This implies multiple fatalities over the course of his career.
And Billy's like, you smell like gasoline and all this stuff. And so they're fighting and arguing. And it's kind of sad at one point because Billy's like, you know, if people can help you, we can get you help and stuff. And
he starts to think he's legitimately crazy.
Yeah, or that he's just, you know, and so he's like, who killed him? And so
Morty killed her. What, the dummy? Oh, come on.
Yeah, so that's what Mr. Ingalls is saying. He goes, Morty killed him. Or Morty.
Morty.
Morty killed him.
Morty. This is and so Rick and Morty flashbacks whenever he says that.
That's not how he says Morty.
That's how they did it first, though.
Oh, did he?
In the pilot.
Hey, Morty.
Morty.
So he's like, who? And he's like, Morty killed him. He's like, oh, come on, you know, that's your pup. And he's like, oh, okay, well, maybe Mr. Ingalls is crazy. So he kind of wants to explain to him, like, no, here, I'll prove it to you. He goes up to get the doll. He's pulling the doll out. He's like, look, it's just a doll. But all he pulls out is, like, some clothes.
Yeah.
It's, like, doll clothes and, like, a piece of the mask of the doll. And it's missing, like, the whole body of the doll.
Yeah. Or the whole head.
Yeah, the whole head of the doll.
And here's where the audience's suspicions are about to be confirmed.
Yeah, and like as he's going through and looking through Morty's bag, Mr. Ingalls starts to get like that look in his eye where the something's making him do it. And he grabs this cleaver off the wall and he's going to take out Billy. So he goes to hit Billy and misses, hits the wall. And he's like, you know what? Mr. Ingalls is fed up. He's like, you know what? You want to see what's doing all this? And he pulls off the sock on his hand. And underneath is this grotesque, kind of cute.
This
but
is where
weird.
The episode basically jumps up in quality.
Well, it's definitely also like, hey, this is a Tales from the Crypt episode.
Yeah, you know? We're being reminded of this.
Which is the best.
This is Weird Land.
And
this
it comes out, and it turns out on his hand is his conjoined twin, Morty.
Morty's like me. He's real. He's flesh and blood. In fact, Morty is my brother. My brother. He's dead.
Morty!
Ah! We were born like this. I guess we were meant to be twins, but nature can work in a cruel way sometimes.
And Morty is basically a squishy face with big eyes and hair, and then he's got like two long
The reveal is so good because Don Rickles is like, yeah! And then on the end of his hand, ah!
Yeah, he's got these big eyes. His eyes are messed up. And
oh,
this little
great
mouth and this bumpy head with all this hair. Like, look him up. Look up
these fingers.
Season 2, episode 10.
Yes. Like, this is where, you know, as a podcast, we cannot show you,
you have to
what
look it
this
up
looks like.
But the worst part is his little hands. He's got these two shriveled carrot-looking things.
They're fingers. They look like fingers.
Yeah, but on the end of them are, like, little hands. So I think those, you see, those are his arms
little,
with little hands.
Like nubbins.
Yeah, he's got little arms and little nubby
well,
hands.
They're using multiple puppets here,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
The puppet's so great. But, like, so basically, they had grown up like that, which when I was thinking about this after the episode, can you imagine being a kid with your little brother attached to your hand?
That'd be a nightmare.
Like, I'm sure he couldn't go to school, because he's probably, like, his kids would, you know, and I'm also surprised
his
parents...
He was definitely homeschooled.
I'm also surprised his parents never just cut him off, really, but... you know, but it's just weird. I guess maybe because his brother, he wanted to keep him. But they're kind of connected in a way. So, like, if Morty gets too powerful, he can make Mr. Ingalls do things.
Right.
And so...
It's implied that he has mind control. Pause.
Yeah, or they're kind of connected. And so...
Goes hand in hand with the classic definition, fictional definition of a freak. Like, you know, to compensate for their know, physical abnormalities, they have mental powers. That's kind of what they're getting at here.
Well, and the thing is, too, the ventriloquist this whole time has been drugging up Morty with morphine to keep him calm.
Sedating
because when he
him.
Gets too crazy, he can control Mr. Ingalls. And so when Billy slapped the morphine out of his hand, that was like the last he had. So now Morty's like all over the place. And he's upset, and he's got this little bitty voice like, "Hey guys, I'm Morty," you know, like a kind of thing. And apparently Morty is very upset because he, well, in the act that they decided to go into this kind of work because of their situation, what they would do is they put like a mask of a dummy on top of Morty's face because his face is really bad.
Yeah.
And then they would just stick, he would stick that hand up through the doll, and then Morty would do all the jokes, and then they were able to do it. But so Morty was very mad because he pretty much wrote the act.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the ad libs. He wrote everything. And he was never able to get with any ladies.
He was the brains of the outfit.
And that's what he was so mad about, because Mr. Ingalls was always getting the women, you know, talking to him, and Morty would get so mad at all these women because he could never be with them.
He hates women. He's never been able to have a woman in a normal way. Oh, I try to stop him. But there's just no reasoning with Morty. He's very willful.
So jealous.
So he hated all women, and he was forcing Mr. Ingalls to kill them.
Yeah. I mean, Morty really is a major proponent and groundbreaking member of the men's rights movement.
And so Morty is just, you know, mad and telling Billy all about this stuff and what has happened. And finally, Mr. Ingalls just can't take it anymore. So he's like, you know what? I can't calm him down anymore. He's very willful. I can't do this. And he takes that cleaver, and he's like, I'm going to cut my arm off. I'm cutting him off, which I'm kind of surprised he hasn't done it yet.
Well, until then, he's entirely on Morty's side, and Morty's like egging him on as he's going after Bobcat. Just saying, go ahead, stick him here!
Well, yeah, Billy, you know, he's still after Billy, but after Mr. Ingalls hears about how Morty feels about being like the main guy in the act, he gets even more mad and he cuts Morty off. So Morty is free, which he doesn't apparently need anything else to live. He doesn't need a stomach or anything. He's still alive.
Yeah.
So he cuts Morty off. It's kind of gross. You know, kind of gross how he cuts him off.
This is visceral.
Yeah.
And the bizarre kind of grossness of the doll makes it even worse.
Well, and then Billy, like, holds Mr. Ingalls' stump for a second, which I'm like, ew, why would you touch the stump? Yeah, it's pretty bloody.
There's blood going everywhere. He's sawing off the Morty.
Not even sawing. He's just chopping. And he, like, tried to tie off his arm, but he didn't really do a great job. So there's, like, blood everywhere. So then Morty gets free, and he's still...
Oh,
he's
God.
So creepy.
Freeze frame on like it's a little weird O face.
Yeah, I freezed on him and he looks like he's like throwing out some dank rhymes.
Dank rhymes.
And he's like,
is that a thing?
You know, my name is Morty and I'm here to say I'm gonna fuck you up in an evil way.
Oh, thank God they didn't actually try to do one of those awful like '90s rap kind of numbers over it.
Crypt Keeper though, the Tales from the Crypt did do a Christmas album.
They did. Oh yeah. Man. They would.
Which, like, they changed the lyrics to be, evil, you know. And so Morty's free, and so Billy's trying to kill Morty, and they're fighting. And so in that, Morty flies forward and grabs Mr. Ingalls by the jugular. Well, not even the jugular, like, just the front of his throat.
Mm-hmm.
And bites into it, and it's real gross. and pulls it up and kills him pretty easily. I don't even think he really bled out. Just, like, rips out his throat. So Mr. Ingalls is dead. And so Morty is running free in this cabin, and Billy's trying to kill him. But then this kind of turns into a weird slapstick comedy as soon as Morty gets free.
It already was, though. Like, all the way through it, it's the humor is very much like Evil Dead.
So, like, Morty's trying to kill him.
What an ugly bastard!
You inbred fucking cabbage patch kid!
You're a real schmuck!
I'm gonna turn you into brain fucking pie!
Hey, Morty! Whoa, 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 whoa!
And so there's this scene that comes up here where, for some reason, Mr. Ingalls has a meat grinder.
Yeah, there's a meat grinder in the middle of his living room. So, what the cleaver? Come on.
And so he pops, he hits Morty, makes him pop in the air, hits Morty after hitting Mr. Ingalls in the face accidentally. And he lands in this meat grinder. And it's kind of gross because...
Right in the meat grinder. Okay, so while... Oh, man.
It's gross.
Like, while... You can even see the meat coming out of the meat grinder as he's grinding Morty up. And all this time, Morty's trying to reason with him.
This is the best. Billy goes, I'm making an asshole casserole, pal, and you're the main ingredient. And so... But he's like, this poor... You feel kind of bad for him because he's grinding him. And he's like, oh, it hurts. Oh, it's killing me. Ah, you know, and he's holding him in there. and everything. And so eventually Morty kind of makes a deal with him. He's like, hey,
I'll do anything you want. Anything. Anything. I swear.
If we could go into the same business together.
No, this is a bad idea.
You know, do you want to be a famous ventriloquist? Let's do this.
As he's grinding him.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. There's meat coming out of it. He's making, he's half made out of sausage already. And yeah. He's still trying to reason with him.
And so Billy's like, hmm, you know. So then it cuts back to the same club because it's the only club ever.
The only club in existence.
And they're back there and everyone's laughing and having a good time. And Morty's back up there in his puppet outfit. And Billy's up there and he's, you know, he's in a nice suit and they're doing their act. And Morty can't control himself.
No.
And this attractive woman walks in and sits and you know, and right away Morty starts throwing her into the act and saying more and more kind of creepy sexual things about her.
If you want to see a ventriloquist dummy with a kind of a lustful male gaze, and I could do without seeing that, you know, in my dreams.
Well, the problem is, because she's trying to be cool about it, you know, she's kind of like laughing it off and stuff, but some of the stuff is getting a little too much to where it's going to start making Billy look bad, because everyone's like, well, yeah, Billy's doing it, so he's just being a creep, you know, and so they start getting in a fight, and they're like, on stage, and they're like, stop it, you know, he's like, come on, stick to the act, and Morty's like, you shut up, I like this lady, you know, and all this stuff. So they kind of get in a fight, and somehow during this part...
Yeah, this makes no sense to me at all.
During this part, everyone's kind of quiet now and watching it, like, almost in horror. And Billy starts screaming, and he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And apparently what he's doing is he's, like, leaning back into Billy's hand and kind of squishing his softness into it so that they become connected.
So then he's like,
I'm renegotiating our deal. He's trying to, like, combine them, which really you could just get him taken off anyway. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Basically, he's fusing.
And so Billy's screaming, and everyone's getting really worried. And so, you know, they're starting to get up and leave. So he rips off the puppet. And I like this guy here in the front because he doesn't even get up. And
this is part of the act, right?
Yeah, this guy here's just like leaning back. And so he rips the puppet off and you can see where like Billy's hand is squeezed up through the bottom of Morty's puppet. I don't know why that would make a difference and why that would hurt Billy and not...
He's absorbing Billy's hand, basically.
I guess that's what it is.
That's the only thing I can...
Because I don't see why it would hurt Billy and not hurt Morty. But so he exposes himself to the audience. And right away the audience is like, whoa, like really... I don't know if people would normally think that was just part of the act.
But well, not now.
But I don't know. You would maybe think it'd be like a morbid like type act, you know? But like maybe the fact that Billy's screaming the way he is.
The brand of humor is very straightforward. It's vaudeville. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing experimental. So this is coming completely up left field for these people. They know it's not part of the act.
But I love like there's like two people in the front that are just like, this is crazy. And just sitting there like, why is everyone leaving? And everyone else is leaving the show and they're screaming. And he's like, look like we're stuck with each other and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, not really.
Well, now you have no career.
Yeah,
Morty.
You kind of exposed yourself.
So
that's basically how the episode ends. So it was great. That last part was a little off, but it was still really fun.
It's in keeping with Tales from the Crypt logic,
I guess. And so, yeah, so that's the end of the episode. We won't know what happened to Billy, but it cuts back to the Crypt Keeper and he's hanging out with Dickie, his puppet, who is now burnt to a crisp.
He deserves a big hand, don't you think?
Yeah. Crypt Keeper, you're so punny. The best Crypt Keeper pun is...
Billy deserves a big hand, don't you think? Sheesh, the thing some folks will do to get ahead in show business.
Oh, get it ahead. Because Morty was ahead. So yes, there's a little bit of trivia here for this episode. Richard Donner, who is the episode's director, has a cameo as the guy talking to the lady at the bar that they kind of start kissing. And the woman that he's kissing is actually Don Rickles' daughter, who is sitting right next to him. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Seems a bit sleazy, if you ask me.
They were, like, making out. It was just, like,
no, the director's like, I get to make out with your daughter, Don Rickles, and there's nothing you can do about it.
No. And the name of the ventriloquist, Mr. Ingalls, is a reference to a legendary horror artist named Graham Ingalls. Ingalls is best known for his work of The Old Witch from The Haunt of Fear, which is a sister title of the Tales from the Crypt published by EC Comics.
Mm-hmm.
After the horror comics were vilified and ceased to be published in the mid-1950s, Ingalls relocated to Florida and became a recluse. Although he taught art lessons and was well-regarded in his community, friends and former associates were clueless as to where his whereabouts were, or even if he were still alive.
So it was definitely a tribute to this man.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. And so that's basically the episode. The next episode is going to be season 2, episode 11, Judy, You're Not Yourself Today. Michael, thank you so much for being on the show.
It was a pleasure.
It was fun. And everybody out there, you know what I like? I like 5-star iTunes reviews. So if anyone out there want to give me some 5-star iTunes reviews, I've gotten a couple. It's been great. And I would love a lot more to help bump me up on the charts on iTunes. You can also find me on Stitcher, Podbay, Podbean, and I'm on Google Play as well as iTunes. If you have any questions or comments or anything about Tales from the Crypt you want me to read on here, or any new articles about it, you can send an email to goodeveningpod@gmail.com. And again, thanks for listening.
All right, have a good one.
I just had quite a scare. I actually thought my heart was beating.